views expressed in this program are those of the participants.
I'm Danielle Metz.
And I'm Robert Vaughn.
And this is the Danielle Metz Show.
Well, why is it called the Danielle Metz Show when I'm here? Am I just like chopped liver here? Okay, it's Danielle Metz Show.
Hey, I'm the one who came up with the idea.
That's true.
Okay, well, let's see where this goes. I had an interesting, we'll call it a discussion or debate. I'll stay out of the
framework. It wasn't an argument?
It was an argument. Where someone I was speaking to said that he knew that I felt a way about something, and I said, no, I don't feel that about that. That is a fact. And then he got very not happy with me and accused me of obfuscating the issue by introducing facts and definitions, and that this is the way the right always argues, and that's why there's so much animosity. And I looked at him agog, thinking, how can you have a proper argument without facts and definitions? Because then you're just going to be talking past each other, and you can't confirm anything, and you're not going to achieve anything.
Well, you can't have a proper argument. A proper argument, not wanting to wax Monty Python-ish.
I knew you were going there.
But a proper argument isn't just contradiction,
no.
Right? It's stating a premise, right? You got a premise, he's got a premise, trying to get to a conclusion. Or a meeting of the minds. One is either right or wrong. Or both of you could be right or wrong. Is there a certain given when you're having an argument that you don't want it to end? Everybody's set in their ways, and if you bring up a fact or a definition, then you're changing the terms or the groundwork of the argument such that the other person knows that he's going to lose, and therefore he's going to get angry.
So, therefore, he'd have to pay me more money to keep the argument going.
Is exactly, that? Yes.
There is a certain, well, I can see a certain perspective to this in that you can, if you are so set into everything as definition and you're missing their point that they're trying to make using not quite the right words. So they may speak improperly, and then when you call them on it and you try to reframe the argument, you're losing the spirit of what they were trying to say. I can kind of see it from that perspective, that it seems like you're just stonewalling by calling into, like, nitpicking. You know what I meant. You didn't have to break down the flow of the discussion, argument, what have you, by nitpicking on the specific choice of words that I made.
I get that all the time. I get that all the time when you try to ground the argument in facts. Then people do get upset because what they're really trying to argue aren't the facts per se, but an emotional, it's an emotional feeling that they're trying to convey. And if you obfuscate that train of thought leading to an emotion that they're trying to express to you with facts and figures, then you're taking the emotion out of it. And that wasn't the intent of the argument. I don't know if I'm making sense here. But
nope, that makes perfect sense.
Does it?
Yep. It's that you come across, especially if it's more of an emotional argument that you're having, it comes across as you're being too rational and too cold by bringing in facts, definitions, and trying to argue it in a rational way when it is not necessarily about rational things. It's about emotion. Especially in a personal relationship, we're not talking like on a debate stage, although the leftists tend to still bring that kind of argument to bear, and that's why they just shout racist bigot, because they're not concerned with facts, they're concerned with feelings, which makes it very difficult to have an argument with them. But when you're in it to win it, I guess, you have to have your definitions. I'm very contextual. I need, when I'm explaining something, my husband always gets mad at me because I take too long to explain something, like an event that happened that day, because I explain the context of what I'm about to say.
Oh, I'm there. I know exactly what you're talking about. As a matter of fact, when I get that way, people just, tune out and don't want to listen anymore.
Right? Yeah, they because want bullet points. It's like, no, I'm not a bullet point. I want context, because if you're telling me something, just telling me a random fact isn't going to, it doesn't mean anything to me. I need to know why you're telling me it.
It's almost as if I can anticipate some of the objections or questions they may have if I give them a bullet point. And by putting it in context and painting a picture of why I'm about to say what I'm about to say, I'm going to allay all of your fears and questions, and you really shouldn't be able to attack me on this point because I've given you all of the info.
The groundwork. The groundwork's all been laid for you. You don't have to question me on anything here. I've given you everything from point A to point B. The whole story is complete, and now you don't have to go, what about this? What about that? What happened with this? What about that? I've told you it all, and that's why I paint a story when I tell something. I don't do bullet points.
You know what it is, though? It sounds pedantic. It sounds like, I'm doing this from a personal point of view. I mean, I sound pedantic when I'm trying to argue with somebody because it makes them feel like an idiot if I have to explain things in a big story with a punchline at the end to get around any objections they may have.
Yes, you're kind of, you're over-speaking, you know, that sense of you're giving too much information, and sometimes your point can get lost in the background noise, right?
Yes.
So I try to limit my speeches or my storytelling as much as I possibly can, but then I always feel like, well, if you don't understand the context in which I'm telling you this information, then it's not going to mean anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a peccadillo of mine, and it's something I'm trying to work on and try to at least keep it a little bit more concise. But going back to the facts and definitions, and saying that it was so funny, he said that it was the right, how the right argues. And I thought, that's a good thing. That's how you're supposed to argue.
That's why they're right.
That's why they're right. Their left wing uses all emotion, which you can't fight against. It's like punching jello. There's nothing to grab on. They just yell stuff like we were talking about the last time, scream helplessly at the sky. There's nothing you can say to that. Like, what would you say? There's nothing to hold on to. There's nothing to combat when somebody is just basically screaming at you and yelling names.
Well, I think that's maybe the point. I think that it's a very immature position to take to say the sky is falling without substantiating that with facts and definitions. They simply want to convey something, and if you don't believe it, they're going to throw a tantrum. It's very childish, and I think I see that in all of the arguments from the left. They're all from emotion, as you say, like punching jello. They couldn't argue their way out of a paper bag, and they will get upset and frustrated when somebody comes along who knows something more than they do and can correct them. Again, that sounds being pedantic, and it sounds like you're smarter than they are. And in this case, you may be, right? And they can't handle that. It's an immaturity, I find.
It's like because you have an argument and it is cohesive and it has a foundation, you're insulting them.
Yes.
Because you're, just by being rational, you're making them smaller and less of an adult. And you're right, they have no argument to counterpoint it. And that's why all they have is screaming and yelling and the outpouring of emotion and all the rest of it, and they say you're cold and heartless because, oh, how dare you use facts. As Ben Shapiro says, facts don't care about your feelings. My favorite quote of all time. And that's how you defeat the left, is you just have to keep banging on with the facts, and not meanly. Have you, outside of maybe Alex Jones, have you ever seen a right-wing pundit get very angry and scream at somebody?
No, I listen to the Patriot Network on Sirius XM quite a bit, and they do talk loud. But then again, you know,
that's passionate.
That's passion versus the listening to the left, like, for example, CNN or Bloomberg.
That's whining.
Yes, exactly. What they're trying to do is to argue from the point of intimidation. I can talk louder than you and faster than you, so therefore I am right, or correct, I should say. And I see right through it. I see right through it. You just look at the pundits sitting on CNN or Bloomberg or MSNBC, and they are giving you the news or their opinion as if they were narrating a sports event. It's a level tone that has gone up I don't know, since the 60s, 70s, or whatever, when we entered the 500-channel universe.
Yes. And you have to shout louder to get your attention.
Exactly, and they had to make things that were of an intellectual nature more entertaining by making it look like a sporting event, a combat, an argument. And they're trying to get their point across by being the more boisterous, the louder.
Yeah, it's like clickbait. You know, when you're flipping through the internet and they have this really loud headline there that they just wants your attention, and yeah, it's like, and but there's no substance to it.
And I think one of the examples, if you want to take an example today of the argument of the motion versus facts, the biggest one today are probably global warming. Or climate change, whatever you want to call it. And of course, it goes through different incarnations. And when the facts and the terms and the definitions destroy their argument, they call it something else. First it was global warming, and then now it's climate change.
But the science is settled.
Yes, and they would say something like that, the science is settled, when of course the facts show that it is not settled.
Yeah, they go to slogans. It's all slogans, because they don't want to argue the fact anymore. No, the science is settled. Yeah, there's no discussion anymore.
Ayn Rand called them bromides.
Yes.
They're basically vacuous statements. They mean nothing. They may not have even been able to prove something, so they just use this bromide. Oh, the science is settled. Oh, okay, then we'll just move along then.
Yes. Well, yeah, we're done here.
Oh, you win. Yeah, sure.
We're done here. Move along. Okay, yep. Carbon tax everybody. Make it.
So what do you do in a case like that when you're up against somebody who will not accept a fact or a definition? In other words, a starting ground, a point of reference from where we can have a debate versus an argument. What do you do?
That's a very good question. I'm trying to think of what I normally do. I think I usually just stop the argument.
Walk away.
Walk away and take a break, and then when calmer heads prevail, you can come back and see if you can come up with a common framework from which to have a conversation rather than an argument. There's a difference. That's about all. Just walk away. And if there's somebody that will not calm down and will not accept reason, then you just have to walk away for good.
Well, that's what you said. There is reason. It comes up because it's like having an argument with a person of faith, a religious person, right? And you and I are atheists.
Yes.
And can substantiate through argument why we are atheists. People of faith, God love them, cannot really substantiate, at least in my estimation, because I used to be one. And I grew up in family of religious people, you know, or somewhat religious people. And so I can understand where they come from, and I can understand that to believe something on faith, by definition, you remove reason from the argument of why they believe what they believe, right? I just believe it, they would say. I just believe it and leave it at that. You cannot, it took me a long time to realize this, you cannot have a rational discussion with a person if the basis for their position is faith or emotion or it feels good. You have to walk away. You
yes.
cannot debate a person.
Well, what's to debate?
Exactly.
Their mind's already made up. And they're not looking to see if maybe they could be wrong. They're not looking for facts. They're just feeling what they feel, and that's it. There's no further step forward from that. It's like punching Jell-O again. So there's no point, and it's a walk away situation most of the time. Sometimes you can agree on a certain ground rules, maybe, and work something out if the person at least is somewhat rational. And then just leave the stuff that you just absolutely cannot make any headway on aside. You know, the stuff you don't talk about.
Right, so just like in Monty Python, good morning, this argument is over.
And I think
that was never 5 minutes.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. Take care, behave yourself. Talk to you soon. Cheers.
If you've enjoyed this presentation, visit www.justrightmedia.org for more programming that's not right-wing, it's just right.